What up, it is I, Hilda, on assignment for Real Motherfucking Talk, and I'm here with Empress Durden. I'm gonna let her introduce herself, the one, the only, the latest, and the greatest, Empress Durden. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Hilda. I really appreciate the opportunity. You're amazing. You're a beautiful being of light. You shine, girl. Yes. I'm gonna start with a poem, y'all. It's called Digitized Aurora Borealis Sound. When moves, see, I watch, but help, I cannot. When he moves, I can't help but watch. He makes the piano flood the room with digitized aurora borealis sounds. Green, green, jagged blue, flood of peach red soaks their souls. He walks, can you call it walking? He floats. He talks, can you call it talking? He converts. When he moves, I can't help but watch. When moves, he I watch, but help I cannot. Thank you so much, y'all. My name's Empress Durden. I'm a post-postmodernist poet living in Los Angeles, lovely Los Angeles. Yay! My book, Self-Love 101, Art is Healing, is available now on Amazon and EmpressDurden.com. That's E-M as in Moore, P-R-I-S-D-U-R-D-E-N. .com or on Instagram at empress.durden. DM me with podcast or Hilda for that hookup special discount on a signed copy of the book.
Hada.
A little exclusive for Real Mother Effing Talks, you know.
Yes, sir.
So a little bit about me. I'm an author of 3 books. I also have a book out about Afrofuturism called Digital Sunset, Digital Sunrise, a Vaporwave Love Story. In that story, me and this man are trapped in a computer, have to escape. I performed at the Poetry Lounge, World Stage, Beyond Baroque, Tia Chucha's, Nuestra Institute Museum.
She's out here.
Private events, and of course my alma mater, Wash University in St. Louis. I've been featured on the Free Black Women's Library, LA, Detroit, and New York, as well as Good Black Reads. Hilda told me to hype myself up, you know, as creative people of color, gotta like not be always humble. So my message with this book is I want to help people heal from heartbreak, and I want to help women especially realize that a lot of people look for love in others. We really should be looking for love inward and upward. So yeah, that's my spiel. Thank you so much for having me, Hilda. How are you today?
I'm great. Wow, that was amazing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's give that up. What is this that I'm doing here? What is the word I'm looking for?
Little snap.
Let's give it the
poetry
snap.
Clap.
The poetry snap. All right. So I invited Empress here because I met her at an art gallery, I think last year. And she started talking to me and my friend. And she said that she's a writer. And at the time, I had just started writing, actually. So that really was inspiring, by the way. So you inspired me a lot as well. Because you said, yeah, you know, just do it. And you invited me to these things. It was awesome. Like, it's just been awesome getting to know Empress. And I'm happy that you're here. I'm so excited.
Yes. Hilda, you are a walking aesthetic. Like, y'all, I'm in her house. And, yo, it's a vibe. She got a little, like, red couch with the patterns on it. Like, nice little incense or something burning. So you walk in, it's the energy, as other people say. The energy.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
Yeah. We should, like, her episode, like, she should make an episode of Writer Cribs. I would watch that.
We were talking about Writer Cribs. By the way, if you're a writer out there and you want to be on an episode of Writer Cribs that we have not created yet but are talking about, it's in the works now, okay? Where we come to your crib, exactly like Cribs, except we just come to your crib and you show us what you do. You show us how you write. And like Empress said, you show us where you cry and, you know, where you get drunk, where you just get fucked up and write. Because you know you do it. You know you do
like,
it.
This is my pen collection. You know. These are my books.
Yeah.
Like, as writers, what we show.
You know, these are my notebooks where I write in the morning. That'd be
this
exciting.
Is where I wonder, like, am I going to kill myself today? Like,
you know?
Yo, okay, that sounds really dark, but it comes from this guy you might know. Hiram Sims.
That's
he's okay. Shout out to Hiram, but he's a professor at CLA. which is a program that helps people publish their books of poetry. So Hiram said, someone came up to him and said, "Yo, your poetry is so great." And he's like, "Oh man, thank you. I was about to kill myself last night." Like, I don't know, that stuck with me. Dark humor, but yeah.
Yeah, dark humor is the best. I love it. And by the way, everybody, I live in the barrio, in the Hispanic barrio, so you're going to hear airplanes going over and you're going to hear the verdulero or the food truck. So bear with us. You feel like you're in the neighborhood with us, by the way.
But it's the barrio. Like, I saw some Bible verses in Spanish. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm in the real part. I'm like, what's up?
Yeah, you're
it's
here.
It's beautiful culture.
You're in here. Everybody's friendly here. Everybody's lovely. So I wanted to, let's get into your questions, because I wanted to ask you, I think I have like maybe 3 or 4 questions for real, but the rest, you know, I just want you to just talk to us. First, tell me your worst ideas.
Creatively or just in life? Well, I have this idea for a TV series where they're in a Buddhist temple and they become Christians, you know? So it's like me imposing my Christianity on people. I think it'd be a cool TV series, but like, okay, shout out to Carlos. I was inspired by meeting this reformed kind of monk. I mean, he was very spiritual, but now he's like trying not to be. He's like, "Yo, I'm trying to get back into the real world." And
really?
Yeah, he's chill. Carlos is chill.
Interesting.
He's a very nice person. And so just looking at his Instagram post, because he like landscapes, gardens, the place is beautiful, arrangements, beautiful flowers. I'm like, "Yo, what if, you know, this TV series, you know, follow these teenagers who grew up in this yogic or Buddhist temple and like their shenanigans and how they meditate, how they like, you know, struggle with temptation." Kind of reminds me of this anime or manga called, I forget what it's called, but it's like Jesus and Buddha are like in their roommates in Tokyo together. And there's some like funny scenes.
Oh, I have to watch that. Yeah. Okay, when you remember, let me know so I can watch that as well.
Saint Young Men, that's what it's called. The Saint Young Men.
Saint Young Men?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, everybody, that's a plug. Saint Young Men.
Shout out to obscure.
Yeah, to obscure animes. I'm here for that. But that's not a bad idea. I think that's a great idea. That's the whole point of that question always is that I feel that people always say, "This is my worst idea." I'm just like, unless it's not. So, but that's an awesome idea.
See, I just don't know where the characters is going. It's like, I think they'd be cool, but I don't know. Like, they have no, there's no inciting incident. Like, you know, aliens don't come to the Buddhist temple. I just think they become a Christian. So I need to push that a little more, you know, because making them turn Christian is kind of self-serving, you know? So I don't know. That's self-serving, but that's why I think it's a bad idea. But I'm going to still try, give them a reason, like, why they're in the temple, you know, why. Something that needs to happen. It can't just be like they're chilling in the temple the whole TV series, right? But maybe so. There is a show where it's literally just like a mother and her son who own this like dispensary. I saw that randomly one night, late night. And that's literally all the show is about. So
exactly. So right. It can be, yeah. My approach to all these things with people nowadays, when somebody gives me an idea and they think, I think it's a bad idea, I'm like, unless. That's all I've got to say. I'm just going to keep saying that. I won't even give input. I'm just going to say, unless. So I'm going to unless you until I see it. Because I can see it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so also your books, because obviously that's why you're here.
And to see you.
And to see me. So Empress, she mentioned it, but you have how many books out?
3 officially.
We'd like to interrupt this episode for a very special commercial break. Welcome to Hold the Flesh Cafe, an exquisite raw vegan experience. The vegetables are so fresh, they're literally still in the ground. As in, it's literally just a garden, y'all. A garden with some iPhone chargers. Like, you have to bring your own tables and chairs and cups. I mean, you have the experiential experience of bringing your own custom amenities. Come visit us today. So the first book was called YouTube Famous, How to Gain 1,000 Subscribers in 6 months or Less. My second book is called Digital Sunset, Digital Sunrise, a Vaporwave Love Story. In that story, me and this guy are trapped in a computer in 1998, and we have to escape. And this book is Self-Love 101, Artist Healing. So I've written 3 books, and I'm trying to start, or I am starting, this new genre called Post-Postmodernism. So they're all like you're immersed in a Twitter timeline that I want you to feel like you're steeped in like the vernacular of this internet age. Because it's not my quote, but famous quote is, you know, the internet used to be a place that we visited. Now it's where we live.
Right.
So in 100 years, I want people to read my books and be like, she captured that je ne sais quoi, that essence. So I got 20 more books in me. This is just the beginning. So let's go.
Yes, I love that. And you're right. It seems that now we live on the internet and through the internet, as opposed to before, where it's kind of a place that we kind of visited, you know, and now we're here, like us right now, we're going to be on the internet. You are all hearing us through the internet. That's where we exist to you, you know, at the moment, that's where we're existing. And I wanted to read some of the, because I was going over your Self-Love 101 Art is Healing book today, before you got here, or earlier today. And some of my favorite ones, I want to read some of my favorite ones.
Ooh.
There's a couple of them.
Nice.
One of them was, why are you so afraid of dying when the yesterday you dies with each morning? And I thought, yeah, you know what? I love that. It's so simple, but you know.
Thank you.
It kind of hits the nail on the head with existence, you know, when people are so concerned with death, you know, the death at the end of our time here on Earth, you know, and you're kind of saying like, you die every single day. And to me, the way that I interpreted it was, I become a new person every day. You know, people talk about reincarnation and all this. It's like, you can be anybody you want that moment that you wake up, or even from moment to moment. So I really love that. Just those two lines just hit. So that's why I love that. And then this one, page 36, I must admit that I'm arrogant. There are worse coats to wear in a cold winter. There are worse coats to wear. And I was like, yeah. The way I interpreted that one was, the cold winter is where we live. And to me, it wasn't a time in the space that we have. It's more where we are. This is the cold winter. So I love that one. And then the last one that I really enjoyed, is there an emoji for absolving yourself of guilt through deflecting blame? I like that one. I'm like, yeah, there should be an emoji for that. I wish there was. I wish there was an emoji for a lot of different emotions that we have. I feel like they could be captured in one emoji. So yeah, those are some of the things that came out of Self-Love 101, Art is Healing. So you guys should check it out. I think everybody should check it out.
Thank you. Did you want me to share some insight?
Yeah, please.
So the first one, why are you so afraid of dying when yesterday you dies with every morning? But don't you know we're always dying all the time? Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head. Like, another quote by myself is, every day is January 1st. Like, I truly believe we always have the chance to change. We always can be a new person. Like, right now you can be like, yo, I'm gonna go be a rocket scientist. So start reading some, like, you know, astrophysics books, fam. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
That's what I meant by that. You know, I actually have a quote. But I just paraphrased it. If you wanna be a rocket scientist, start reading some like space books, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
At this moment. What was the second one?
It's never too late. It's never too late.
Oh, the cold winter, right. I must admit, I'm arrogant. In a cold winter, there are worse coats to wear. A cold winter, there are worse coats to wear. Yeah, definitely. as an artist out here in LA with, I won't say competition because I believe in collaboration over competition, like there's constant rejection, all the shins, rejection.
Yes.
Anyway, you gotta believe in yourself, like confidence level 1,000, like otherwise it's easy to give up. And to all, to all these young writers out here, I just want to say, just don't give up. Like, I think Megan Good said this, shout out to her. Like, a lot of people almost made it, but they just gave up, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds basic, just don't give up. Consistency is everything.
Yeah, because sometimes you're right at the finish line and you just don't see it. You just don't see the fucking finish line. And there's people on the other side cheering you on. And you're just like, I can't do it.
It's hard though. It's hard. So that's what I meant by saying arrogance. Because arrogance and confidence are a fine line. I try to err on the side of being confident. And the whole, there are worse coats to wear is that, you know, the whole book is about the healing process, right? It's this postmodernist, you know, lack of narrative, but there is a slight narrative of going from the beginning, which is like clean up on all my life is in shambles, to the end, which I won't spoil for y'all, but it's helping people get over heartbreak by showing me going through those stages of trauma, grief, healing. So I'll quote myself and say, I truly believe that everyone possesses two forms of coping mechanisms, one destructive and the other constructive. Like, we can either go out and drink ourselves to death and do heroin and everything. And I truly believe people who are addicted, they're trying to medicate themselves. Or is also in the book I say, like, best believe everyone has their medicine. Like, maybe those people who are addicted to drugs are having mental illness and they're unmedicated. You know what I'm saying? You know, my thing is food. Like, I love emotional eating. Like, someone else, maybe they exercise like way too much to the point where they hurt themselves. Like, you can either be constructive and you know, meditate or whatever, or you can do drugs, which, you know, I don't know the crowd here, but I personally don't do drugs, but it helps some people. But my point is that cold winter, there are worse coats to wear, there are worse ways that you can destroy yourself, but arrogance is my armor, and that's how I choose to cope, you know? But I try to stay humble, y'all, you know?
Yes.
And what was the third excerpt?
Let me see what it was.
Trying to give y'all those little bars.
You know, Empress got bars.
Oh, the emoji, right.
Oh, yes, emoji.
Is there an emoji for absolving yourself of guilt by deflecting blame? Yeah, emojis are a theme because I'm trying to steep the book in the vernacular of the internet. So I think I also say, is there an emoji for self-respect? Like, I'm trying to be satirical. Like, there's emoji for everything. There's, you know, the eggplant emoji. There's the bread emoji. My dad sends me that one. Shout out to my dad. We and this dad, we made it now. He always sends me bread whenever I like make any money. He's like, bread.
Get that bread, girl.
When your parents first started using emojis, how did you feel about that? Did you feel attacked? Like,
you know, my parents hardly ever use emojis. My mom sometimes uses an emoji. Maybe a little happy face, but she can hardly use her phone, to be honest. So her sending an emoji, I'm like, wow, that was a win, Mom. So I'm excited when she uses an emoji.
There's like certain things that don't make sense, like the little like diamond sign. I won't do y'all like that. They've gotten better, but when they first started using it, I'm like, this is amazing. They're using emojis. But it's a whole language, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to put out a whole collection of like emoji poems. And I like wrote a few stories completely in emojis. They have to like guess what they are.
Oh, so nice.
That's probably book number 10 or something. It's way down the line of projects, but keep out for that. Little Real Mother Effing podcast exclusive.
Yes, plug it. That's awesome. And
thanks for reading it.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed how it read. I feel like sometimes poetry books tend to be a little too dense, even for people who are into literature. Honestly, I didn't like poetry for a long time.
Same.
For a long time, until just recently, where I started reading people like Nayir Wahid. I read your book, and I started reading Nikki Giovanni now. But because of people like you and because of people like Nahira Wahid, and I don't even know if I'm saying her name correctly, Yersa Daily Ward, her as well, because it's so accessible now. You know, I feel like now it should be about accessibility with literature, with art. You know, it seemed like it used to be kind of elite. Like, oh, you have to be able to read this amount of stuff. You have to be able to understand the metaphors and similes and all these things. And now it's just kind of, hey, this is us. This is for all of us. And I really love that. So thank you for doing that, Empress.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Thank you. It's interesting you mentioned NYU because in the dedication, you know, I pay homage to everyone who came before me because, you know, without our ancestors, without the trailblazers, we wouldn't be here. So, of course, Nahira Wahid, if you look at the cover, I pay homage to her. It's all white text in the lower right-hand corner, just like her book, Salt. Little known fact about her, I say this all the time, but, you know, she was a trailblazer for this whole self-love instant poet movement before Rupi Kaur even.
Yes.
And she mentioned in an Instagram post that she has since deleted that she went to multiple publishers and they were like, yo, you don't know proper grammar. What is this? Why aren't you using periods? Why are they all lowercase? Even though E. Cummings, a poet who like had lowercase stuff, existed, they still questioned her. She's a black woman, an immigrant woman, and she started all of this. And you know, she said Rupi Kaur came after her and everything, right? So, but I do want to pay homage to Rupi Kaur, much respect, Alex L., Sonia Sanchez, Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, that book changed my life. But yeah, like, you know, oftentimes poets who use internet vernacular or ebonics, slang, like, they aren't lifted up in literature. And I've often wondered, like, in a poetry class, you know, why are we not in the canon? And in a Free Black Women's Library LA event, we all talked about like how, you know, Toni Morrison, for example, is like Shakespeare, and how, you know, black women, people of color need to be in this canon and they're not. It's up to us to preserve them and keep speaking their names in these spaces with our counterparts, you know?
Yes.
Hope you can understand what I'm saying in this veiled language, but you
tell them, let them know. And I know you're talking about people who are very inspirational, so that kind of leads me into my next question. I know everybody's going to ask you, what's your inspiration? But yeah, I would like to know your inspirations, but I want to know your strangest inspirations. Most unexpected inspirations.
I mean, one of my poems is Note to Self, Paint a Papaya. Like, artists, really, like visual art, like, I dabble in it. I mean, I'm an art history major in undergrad, but, you know, I don't know, it's a weird inspiration. I had this dreams a lot too, and in the shower. I get a lot of ideas in the shower because it's very meditative. But I had this little thought, like, what if someone's really drunk and they like, this character is so drunk and they like, yo, they have this whiskey and they pour stuff in their plant. Like, yo, turn up, plant. Here's some whiskey for you. Like,
turn up foliage.
Turn up foliage.
Yeah.
Dang, that's the weirdest thought I've had.
Yeah. Empress, turn up foliage.
Turn up foliage.
You heard it here, guys. Turn up foliage coming soon. I'm already putting the book on her, so.
The next, number five is about plants, though. You're
really?
Pretty perceptive.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good.
Yeah.
I love that. I have a couple of plants that I just bought recently.
Ooh, plant mommy.
I got a rosemary plant and a lavender plant, and within about a week, they're dying. So,
dang.
I am the worst plant mom. I think I'm looking for somebody who can take care of them now.
Are you watering them?
I'm watering them. I read, I was like, okay, you have to put them in the sun, 8 hours of sun, okay, cool. Water them sparingly, okay, cool, and they're just fucking dying, so I don't know, whatever.
Note to self, don't let Hilda babysit my dogs.
Yeah.
In the future.
Well, you're okay, dogs I can do, like, animals I love, like, I can keep animals alive.
You say that
I'm
now.
Really great. I have
watch a dog and I'm up dead in the corner and I eat it for 8 hours.
Oh, little known fact about me, or actually well known fact about me, I guess, to the people that are around me a lot, I have a whole damn farm.
Oh.
At my parents' house. I have all my pets and stuff. Which, you know, kind of, I feel like which should translate to plants, but I don't know, it just doesn't, so whatever. Enough about me. Anyway, Strange inspirations.
Back to you. What's your strangest inspiration?
My strangest inspirations? Oh man, I come across a lot of strange things. So for example, just the thought of the other day, I was thinking about Jimi Hendrix. And I was thinking, oh man, I wish I could bring Jimi Hendrix back. And I was telling my friend, I said, hey, you know what? If I was able to bring anybody back, I would, above anybody else, even like my ancestors, fuck them, fuck like grandparents, anybody else, I was just like, Hendrix, I would bring him back. And I thought, let me put that in a poem. So I'm gonna, that's actually today's, I think today, since in my 31 days of poetry, that's-
She gonna challenge y'all.
Yeah, I made my own challenge this month. So yeah, that's my strangest inspiration, just random shit that I think about.
How did he die again? OD?
Allegedly, yes.
How did that way go out?
Allegedly.
Because if you die of an OD, aren't you technically high?
Yeah, well, he... This is what people say happened, is that he took some pills or something and drank too much wine. And people who are also into Hendrix a lot, or who have conspiracy theories, is that they believe that he was murdered. Because it seems like that everybody thinks that the wine was actually forced down his throat. So there's a lot behind that. Mm. Anyway, yeah, that's a different podcast in itself.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah, Hendrix conspiracy theories. I think that should be a podcast for another day. But yeah, that's my strangest inspiration. Just thinking about stuff that I would want. Or just thinking of characters, like Petty Man is a character. I'm just thinking.
Petty Man?
Yeah, I was just, this was my last episode actually with my friend Porter, where he gave me the inspiration for Petty Man. He said something petty and I thought, man, that's petty. And I thought, oh, Petty Man, oh, that's good. I'm gonna make Petty Man a character. I'm gonna make a short story for him, so.
What petty adventures does he get himself into?
He does a lot of really petty shit, so.
Like traffic?
Yeah, so one of his adventures is that he lives with his mother, but he's also making her always pay rent. So he's pretty petty in that way. Mm. He doesn't pay for his dates ever. In fact, they pay for him.
No, that's canceled now.
Yeah, so he's pretty petty. He does a lot of really petty things, and he's still developing character. So that's him. But okay.
You would like this Reddit subreddit called Petty Revenge. It's really funny. It's just people writing stories of how they got petty revenge.
Oh yeah. Okay, I need to go there. That's the place where I need to live for a second and see and get inspirations. Maybe I shouldn't read it until after I do the Petty Man thing. But I feel like you just flip the scripts on me and you start interviewing me. So let's get back to interviewing you, Empress.
Okay.
This is the one that I ask everybody, which is very true to the real motherfucking talk vein, is what is your most honest moment? And you can interpret that however you want. Just your most honest moment.
I'm gonna interpret that tied into the book promo, because y'all, I'm trying to sell books to live.
Promo time, baby.
Again. E-M as in more, P-R-I-S dot D-U-R-D-E-N. Hit up my Instagram. I'll give you that hookup price on the signed copies. I promise you, you've never read anything like this in your entire life. Signed copy may be worth $1 million one day. I don't know. That's a lot. I don't know. How much do signed copies of books go for? A grand?
I don't know. I mean, hey, you can price it however you want.
In 20 years, you know, and then your grandkids, when I'm, you know, a cyborg in the internet, you know, they'll be banking on that. So get your signed copy. It's a reasonable price. I only make $2 off of each book because Jeff Bezos is my, you know, capitalist overlord, you know? Mm-hmm. He takes his cut. So yeah, I'm gonna tie in a book promo, y'all, you know, to give y'all a reason. So my most honest moment was when I was in the shower listening to Wounds by Kid Cudi. And like, I didn't want to be here anymore, y'all. That's how the book got written. Like, I was in love with someone, they broke my heart, and like, a friend was involved in it, and it's kind of like, I just didn't want to be here. I thought, I didn't have any hope. I thought, this shit's just never going to end. This stuff is never going to end. Like, you know, friends are going to keep backstabbing me. The men I love aren't going to love me back. What's the point, you know? And then I was just walking around the park thinking there's no point. And then I took a shower, put on Kid Cudi for some reason. That song goes like, I'ma sew these wounds myself. And shout out to Kid Cudi, you know, he makes songs about depression and everything and his addiction and like,
he's amazing.
So many people said that he saved their life, but I would say in that moment, God saved my life, Jesus Christ, like, you know, I realized I need to like focus on my art, my writing. And if I love myself so much that if the person for me never comes, I've achieved my goal. Like I want that to be my message to young women who feel unlovable, especially in women of color, is that, you know, if you love yourself so much, focus on your friends, your art and writing, as corny as that sounds, then, you know, your husband or, you know, your partner will probably come. But even if they don't come, being that satisfied in yourself. So in that moment, I was just thinking about my life. Like in the song, he talks about, like, I'm trying to quote him, but he basically says, like, I've done everything I could do. Like, why are things still bad? He's like, no, be real with yourself. What have you done to put yourself in this situation? So recommend that song. That was my most honest moment and where I really got on the precipice of, you know, self-work and self-love. And that's the first step. Being like, why? Like, clean up on all my life is in shambles. Mm-hmm. You can't fix a problem until you identify it. So hope that wasn't too cookie cutter and book promo-y.
No, of course
but
not.
Yeah.
No, you can't fix a problem until you know what it is exactly. And I feel like a lot of people are kind of, you know, that collective consciousness is kind of kicking in a little bit, because I feel like a lot of people are answering that question kind of in the same way. And it's not a bad thing. And I just feel like we're all coming into alignment like that. You know, it's kind of identifying the problem and realizing where it's coming from, understanding who it is that's causing it. Oftentimes it's ourselves. Sometimes it's the outside world, you know what I mean? So I love that. And yeah, I love the message that you have for the readers, especially Black women, even the women of color, any woman of color, you know, it helps us all. So
women in general, people
women
in
general, exactly. It's so important for us women to really band together and say, hey, you know what? We're all experiencing very similar things in life. And you just happen to put in a fucking book, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and again, the beginning is clean up when all my life is in shambles. Like, I'm coming at this. I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychologist. I'm an expert writer, but I'm just kidding. But not a psychologist, not a medical professional. So I'm just a broke 24-year-old in LA trying to make it. So I'm not presenting this as medical advice, but as my artistic, you know, interpretation of the healing process, which, you know, art is healing, right? So I'm trying to say, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal like, yo, I have it all figured out, this and that. I'm saying I'm still working on myself. I'm still dealing with not putting romantic love on a pedestal, putting friend love on a pedestal.
Yes.
Like, it's all
absolutely
a process, right?
Yes.
Of healing. It never ends. Because if you don't work out, you know, you start losing muscle. If you don't work out your mental health, you know, you start losing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And writing a book, y'all, it's not that hard. Like, I want to encourage, you know, young people in general, not yet just young people, like, Amazon KDP is free. Like, you got this. You can do it. Hilda's working on her book about grammar. And Petty Man.
I'm working on that. That's a short story that's going to come up. But you know what? I like that you, because I wanted to ask you about that, is you have 3 books that you self-published. And how did you do it? In a nutshell, how did you do it?
Okay, I got to a 4-step process, y'all. And I want this to be free and accessible to everybody. First is Amazon KDP. If you don't remember anything else from this talk, Google Amazon KDP, which stands for Kindle Direct Publishing. And people literally have written blog posts about this. I finally figured out by Googling it, you know. The second step is Upwork, UPWORK. And you can hire someone to make the cover. I did the third one myself, but you can also find someone on Fiverr, Fiverr. None of these people are paying me to sponsor. I'm just telling you what I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it out there. But if y'all want to, I'm here. I'm here, y'all.
But
or you can like find an artist friend and get them to do it for you, you know, paying mm-hmm. them, but you know, I don't know, do a trade, do a barter.
Yes.
Communism,
collaborating with other creatives.
Yeah. Third step is the inside part, also on Upwork. I found a student and she did it for a good price, like $60. But then I asked her to show me how she did it, that a template on InDesign, so I could like do it myself. So this one I did myself.
Awesome.
The insides, like the margins and all that. So yeah, and then the fourth step, which is optional, but if you want to be official, like if you want to be in local bookstores, you need the barcode, which is the ISBN, and that's through Boker, Bowker.com. And it's expensive, it's like $100. I think it's like either $125 or $95. But if you want to be official in this capitalist society with these gatekeepers, you know, you have to have it. Like, I'm in the Reparations Club, which is a Black-owned space, and I think it's South LA. Shout out to them, and some other local bookstores. Thanks to the ISBN, because they can categorize it. But, and then super bonus tip five is Ingram Spark. I-N-G-R-A-M Spark. And with them, you can get into like Barnes & Noble, so I'll be in there next month on their website and stuff like that.
Nice.
Wholesalers, because Ingram Spark is how you get to the wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have Ingram Spark and Amazon, you're available everywhere.
Yes.
And the bookstores can order directly from the wholesaler, which is you, right? So,
libraries.
Yeah, and libraries, yeah. Yeah, what's up with that? I submitted to them. They rejected me, but it's cool, though.
Really? Wow.
It's cool, LA Public Libraries. Yeah. I see you.
That's on the supporting local department.
No, I'm not bitter, y'all. I'm not bitter. It's all good.
Okay, shout out to the LA Literature and Fiction Department. We got questions, okay? Why isn't this book, or why aren't any of the books in the library? We're going to find out about that.
No, it's cool. That reminds me of this excerpt from Shan Boodram's book, who's a YouTuber who lives here in LA. She has a book out now called The Game of Desire, and it helps people gain seduction tips and everything with her expert knowledge. Like, she has degrees. It's not like a pop. It's not a pop kind of like light thing. It's like
science.
Right. It's light. I'm just trying to say she's serious.
Okay, she's serious about her.
Right. So there's an excerpt where she talks about Winnie Harlow, a supermodel, the one with vitiligo. And she was the first person, Shan was the first person to photograph her. And she said, when she was photographing her, she was like, I'm going to be a model one day. And at that point, it sounded really out there because, you know, no one with her condition had ever modeled before. Now we know she's a supermodel, all this stuff, but her attitude was just so, like, she's like, I'm not about being bitter, I'm better. She's like, I'm like a train. Either people can hop on now or they may hop on later on, you know? Because she tried to get into this one agency and they rejected her, but then later on, they signed her.
Yep.
And then she tried to get into Victoria's Secret, the fashion show, the big one, in 2017. And they were like, she really, really tried and she was really, you know, out there, but they still rejected her.
Hmm.
And Shan was like, yo, aren't you upset about this? She's like, no, I'm just can't be bitter. I'm just going to be better. So she kept trying. And then the next year she booked the Victoria's Secret fashion show. So her attitude, like, you know, LA Public Libraries, it may not be today, but next year I got you. It's cool.
We'll be seeing her in the library. Don't worry. And I got one more question for you just to wrap things up. And we were talking about this earlier, we were joking about it. But let's go back to that. Where is your favorite place to cry and write?
Oh man, specifically to do both, right? The crying and the writing. In the cribs, in my bed, like, I don't know, listening to Coldplay. I love Coldplay so much.
That's how you know you get sad.
Green eyes. You're the one that I wanted to find. Yeah, I love Coldplay. They have a lot of good heartbreak music. I feel bad for Chris, like, but it's beautiful. So in my bed, but I really like writing at Teapot in NoHo. Shout out to the stalkers out there, but I got that little plan vibe. Like, I love Teapot, but definitely the crying part. Just in my room, I like to write on my phone a lot in the notes, or like tweet a lot. Yeah, I'm not gonna say follow my Twitter, but that's where I put my rough drafts. Cause you know, you can tweet a lot, but you can't Instagram a lot. Do whatever you want, but I'm saying that's my rough draft. And then I like screenshot it, use this app called InstaSize, put it on Instagram. So that's my process, y'all. Little tip.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. There's a process. This was Empress. And if you have any, do you have any last words for us?
They said look inward, so I did. I have not yet recovered from the sight. Thank you so much, Hilda. I'm Empress Durden. This was Self-Love 101 Art is Healing, available on Amazon and EmpressDurden.com. That's E-M as in more, P-R-I-S-D-U-R-D-E-N. If you DM me, at Empress.Durden, DM me the word Hilda or podcast. Got that little discount for you. Thank you so much,
yes, ma'am.
Listeners of Real Mother Effin' Podcast. Have a great evening.
Yep, that was Empress Durden for Real Motherfucking Talk. And until next time, keep it real.